I like what a preacher said years ago in London. Somebody told him that that Saul of Tarsus really did not get saved. He just had it was actually only a fit of epilepsy. He said, if that's true, before it happened, he was a blasphemer, and after that, he was a prayer and a preacher and a missionary. He said, if that's true, then I hope that kind of epilepsy goes over the whole world. Amen. Fly abroad, he said, thou mighty epilepsy. Oh, it was the grace of God, wasn't it? It was the power of God. Amen. All right. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Verse 4 is our text. You'll notice that phrase in this text, the Spirit of holiness. That's the title of the message tonight for a little while. Well, the Apostle Paul here wastes no time in declaring the central doctrine of the Christian faith, and that is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. A dead Christ could never save us, but a living Christ can. And by the way, this verse 4 here is the verse you would see if you were to fly to Jerusalem. Go to the empty tomb, on your way walking down to the empty tomb in this lovely garden, you would see as soon as you walk on the property, a plaque, if it's still there, with this verse, Romans 1:4, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. The resurrection is not mere fiction. It's not rumor. It's not hallucination. It is fact. It is truth beyond all question and beyond all dispute. This text reminds us that the resurrection was not just a supreme act of power, though it was. It was more than that. It was more also than a supreme act of love. It was also, according to this text, a supreme act of holiness. Declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. I want to emphasize that aspect of our Lord's resurrection tonight. We know from reading God's Word that holiness was the hallmark of our Lord's character. It was the leading feature above everything else about Jesus Christ and His person and His work. Everything He ever did, everything He ever said, everything He ever thought, you could describe as holy. Holy. It is the essence of God, the very essence of God. Concerning Christ, all was holy. All was perfect. All was sinless. All was gentle. All was gracious. And all was without blemish, without stain, holy. I don't think you can understand the Bible unless you understand that above everything else, God is holy. God is holy. That's the foundation of it all. Holy is the Father, holy is the Son, holy is the Spirit. Thrice holy, eternally holy, infinitely holy, unspeakably holy, ineffably holy, gloriously holy. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was, which is, and which is to come. That's what they shout in heaven. God's holy above everything else. Every page of your Bible declares the holiness of God. His name is holy. Just bear with me for a little bit. I want to tell you about the holiness of God, if I can, for just a little bit. God's name is holy. His throne is holy. His law is holy. His justice is holy. His love is holy. His mercy is holy. His grace is holy. His word is holy. His salvation is holy. His gospel is holy. Everything about God's holy. Amen. Holy. And about Christ as well. Consider His birth. Consider the birth of Christ and how holy prophets had foretold that a holy Son would be born, begotten of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's just all holy, everything about it. Everything about it's high and holy. The miracle, the incarnation. We know that Jesus had lived long before Bethlehem. Why, Bethlehem was just His incarnation. As a man, He was God the Son and was from eternity past. He had always been. His physical birth was not the beginning, just the incarnation. Jesus was not merely born. He came. He came and often spoke of that existence with the Father in heaven before He came. Across the stars He came, and on a mission of mercy He came, and everything about Him was impeccably holy. Jesus lived a holy life, and He walked a holy walk, and He preached holy sermons, and He prayed holy prayers, and He rendered a holy obedience to the will of God. His compassion was holy. He performed holy deeds and demonstrated holy love. Just a perfect life. Nobody could lay anything to His charge. As Pilate would say later, and I'll speak about Pilate in a moment, I find no fault in Him. Sinless, blameless, perfect, holy. Yet, He was widely rejected. And He still is. And can I say this hypothetically? If He came back tonight, they'd kill Him again. The world has never been more vocal in their hatred of Christ than Christians. Every chance they get to slam and slur and mock Christians, they do it. They do it. Widely rejected. He came into His own, and His own received Him not. Hated, despised, rejected by His own family during His ministry. Betrayed and denied, forsaken. Did you ever follow Jesus from the Garden of Gethsemane? Did you ever imagine being there in the garden where He was arrested? Was that not an incredible display of unnecessary force? I mean, they came to get Jesus in the garden that night with swords and staves. They didn't need any of that. He did not resist one time. He didn't even step backwards. Amen. They're the one. They're the ones that stepped backwards when He said, I am. They knew they were in the presence of God. He was standing there waiting on them. He didn't say to His disciples, you try to come her for me, I'll run. Oh no, He just stood there. He'd seen them coming for 4,000 years. Longer than that. There was no need for those swords. He was ready. He was willing. What a drama it was. There's never been a trial like the trial of the Lord Jesus. I mean, it was wrong from the beginning. It was illegal to pass a verdict during the night, to have a trial during the night. They arrested Him at midnight, and He died at 9 o'clock the next morning. The whole trial, from the religious trial before the Sanhedrin to Pilate to Herod and back to Pilate. Pilate all took place illegally. The meeting with the Sanhedrin, the charge of blasphemy, the conviction, all illegal. I think as you read about the trial of our Lord, you soon realize that though He was supposed to be the one on trial, it was everybody else that was on trial. What were they going to do with Jesus? Pilate said, "What is truth?" And truth was standing right in front of him. It was the religious leaders on trial. It was the whole world on trial. It was you and me on trial. We call it his trial, but it was a whole lot more than that. And finally, the accusation was, "Pilate, we find this man forbidding to give tribute to Caesar and saying that he himself is Christ the King." Well, he never did forbid to give tribute to Caesar. He always told people to pay their taxes, didn't he? And the witnesses fell through, the false witnesses. Their witness couldn't agree, and so according to the Jewish law, they should have been stoned to death, and Jesus should have been set free. They were not trying to give him a just trial. They were trying to kill him as quick as they could. And Pilate at first, he seemed to show some concern for justice, but he soon caved in. Pilate said, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" Jesus said, "Thou sayest it." Jesus never denied who he was. Amen. Before long, after Pilate delivered him to their hands, our Lord was scourged. He was crucified. He was slapped and spat upon and mocked and crowned with thorns and placed beneath a heavy Roman cross to carry up Calvary's mountain. Up Calvary's mountain, one dreadful morn, walked Christ my Savior, weary and worn, facing for sinners, death on a cross, that He might save us from endless loss. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer. Just let me worship a minute, I'll be right back. Seems now I see Him. Nobody ever did for me what He did. Seems now I see Him. On Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me. What's a love story, isn't it? What a love story. The next 6 hours, hanging on the cross, Jesus did a lot of wonderful things, didn't He? He took our punishment. He satisfied divine justice. Took care of His mama, didn't He? "Behold thy son, behold thy mother. John, take care of mama. I'm leaving. I trust you." John was only one there. All the rest of them were afraid and hiding. "Take care of mama for me. Suffered our hell. Build a bridge all the way from earth to heaven." You say, how far is it to heaven? I don't know. It might be 500 million miles, for all I know. I don't know. Why, it's 90-some million just to the sun. And that's that thing's close to us as far as the size of the universe. It's right there in our face at 92 million miles away. I know one thing. He built a bridge all the way from here to there. He built a bridge for the lowest and vilest sinner in the whole world to be able to call out and say, "Oh God, have mercy," and to be saved. He built a bridge with bleeding hands. Jesus built a bridge from earth to glory. That's what He did. You say, that sounds a little mysterious. It's all of it is mysterious to my mind, but it's music to my ear and heaven to my soul. I don't understand it. It'd be too good to be true if it wasn't in the Bible. We don't deserve this, but the Bible declares it, and I believe it. He was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. which means he shed holy blood, died a holy death, and buried in the holy sepulchre, and guarded by holy angels. And at the appointed hour, thank God he was raised in a holy resurrection. Why, he's lying there one moment, and then thank God there was, his eyes opened, and there was a movement of a finger, and those grave clothes came off, and he put on his high priestly robes he's wearing right now. And the angel rolled away the stone, not to let Jesus out, but to let the women in. And before the sun rose, thank God. I bet you'd been in heaven about that time. They had been having a jumping up and down, happy cartwheel flag waving time. They knew him. They loved him. They worshiped him. And when he got back on Ascension Day, they had a ticker. Don't tell me they didn't. They had a ticker tape parade. The champion was coming home. Amen. His throne had been empty for 33 and a half years, but he came back and the Father said, sit thou at my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. Well done, Jesus. Amen. God's pleased with Jesus. Are you? Amen. I am too. Well, he was raised in a holy resurrection. He won a holy victory, ascended in a holy ascension, sat down on a holy throne, and ever lives to intercede in the holy high priestly ministry. Oh, it's all about him, and he's holy. And because of all this, one day soon, and you can't, if you studied this, you can't separate the resurrection of Christ from our resurrection. They just go together. The one is the cause of the other. And since all this was done in the spirit of holiness, then thank God one day the Lord himself shall descend from a holy heaven with a holy shout and the holy trump of God and the holy voice of the archangel. And the holy dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the holy clouds to meet the holy Lord in the holy air. Amen. And so shall we ever be with the Lord, and wherefore comfort one another with these holy words. These precious, sweet, wonderful words. You can put the word holy in front of everything that has to do with the Father, Son, or the Spirit. Everything they've ever said, done, or will do, because above everything else, God is holy. That's why I had to send Jesus to the cross. Because sin must be punished. God's that holy. Amen. Because all this is true, because Jesus said, I am the resurrection. Take that one home. Amen. Not I'll have a resurrection. I am the resurrection. And the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Because he's the resurrection and the life. We can stand at the grave of our loved ones. And we can say, the Lord gave. And the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And we can say, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Because Jesus took away the fear and took away the sting. Amen. I don't want to die, but I want to tell the devil and the grave I ain't afraid to die. And I ain't staying in there long, and that's just my body. My soul's going straight to heaven and just like that. And it don't matter to me if I'm alive at the rapture or if I go through the whole process. That's okay. The dead in Christ get to go first. Amen. Somebody asked an old preacher why. He said they're 6 feet further down. It's pretty good theology, and I don't know any other reason. Do you? Amen. We're going to a holy city too. Yes, we are. We're going to sing holy songs too. Oh yeah, and with in perfect melody. Oh, we're going to enjoy holy fellowship. Oh, we are. This all, everything about it's holy. Yeah, we're going to testify of a holy salvation in that holy city, serve a holy God forever, experience holy joys, shout holy hallelujahs, rejoice in the holy faith.
Do you know our faith is holy? The book of Jude says, build yourself up on our most holy faith. Amen. If God's got anything to do with it, there ain't no sin in it. Amen. Yeah, our faith is holy. Every now and then people ask me if I belong to a perfect church. I say, I sure do. Yeah. I sure do. He said, are you serious? I said, I sure do. What we believe is exactly according to the Bible. And in that respect, our church is perfect because we believe the Bible. Amen. The Bible's holy too. I said, and if you mean we're perfect and sinless, not yet, but we're going to be. But our faith is holy. And let me just say this, and I'm almost done. If we're all reading the same Bible and the same Holy Ghost is teaching us, guess what? We ought to all be on the same page. Don't you tell me that the Holy Ghost told you something different than He told me. He don't cause confusion. No, you made that up yourself. Yeah. That's right. Well, we're just never going to get over this. Amen. The blood He shed, the death He died, the victory won. The love He demonstrated, thank God, will be our theme and song throughout ceaseless, never-ending ages. The price He paid, the gulf He bridged. And every Sunday, not just on Easter, but every Lord's Day, thank God, with grateful and glad hearts. And did you notice tonight in the singing, if there hadn't been a single word said, the music had joy in it. The music had gladness in it. Yeah, you can tell, can't you? The song of the world. When I'm pumping gas at the gas station, they're playing that music of the world. I hear death. I do. I hear despair. I don't hear no joy. I don't hear no victory. When I hear the songs of Zion, I do. Amen, I do. Thank God we're every Sunday we gather with glad, thankful hearts and celebrate Jesus and His mighty triumph. You say, what you got going on down there at church? Well, we preach Jesus. The attraction is Jesus. You mean you ain't going to have a biker Sunday? No, we're not. No, we're not. If we have a biker Sunday, we'll have to have a tractor Sunday. Then we'll have to have an airplane Sunday. Then we'll have to have a Mustang Sunday. No, we're just going to say the attraction is Jesus. And God's people will come. If you'll preach Jesus and preach the Bible. And if you come for some other reason, if you come for the hamburgers, the church that gives you the steaks will get you next. That's right. What you win them with is what you want them to. That's right. Well, I'm just saying that tomb's empty. Amen. Tomb is empty and science can't deny it. Oh, they'd love to deny it. They've been trying for 2,000 years to prove it's not true. And every one of them that studies it gets saved. Yeah. Frank Morrison said, I am going to prove that Jesus never rose from the dead. He got saved and wrote a book proving that He did. Josh McDowell, Needleton, West, all the rest of them. This book will stand the test, thank God. And science can't explain it and history can't deny it. Time can't erase it. Yeah. When all that man has ever made is lying in the dust, the truth of Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection, thank God will be a living on. And the skeptics can't outlive it, and I can't live without it. And atheism can't undo it, and unbelief can't change it. Herod couldn't kill Him. The devil couldn't seduce Him. And religious leaders, they couldn't stop Him. They couldn't stand Him, but they couldn't stop Him either. Death couldn't hold Him. The grave couldn't handle Him. Corruption couldn't touch Him. There ain't nobody like Jesus. Nobody was born like Him, lived like Him, died like Him, got up out of the grave like Him, went away like Him, There's coming back like him. There ain't nobody like Jesus. There's religion in a thousand names, but salvation in just one. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem. Crown Jesus, Lord of all. Amen. The Spirit of Holiness. Everything you did was in the Spirit of Holiness. Everything. Amen. To this name, to this wonderful person, I've tried to describe tonight His Majesty, the Lord Jesus Christ, declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of Holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. To this name every knee shall bow. Your knee, your tongue shall confess He's Lord. Far better to do it in this life than in the life to come. I settled my case out of court one day. 26th of August, 1973. I settled my case out of court. Thank God I'll never go to hell. I'm hell proof. Because of Jesus. Waterproof, judgment proof. Not one drop of condemnation will ever hit me on the head, Kevin. Because of Jesus. Amen. Oh, how He loves us tonight. Do you know Him as your own personal Lord and Savior? Let's stand tonight.